I'm Karen Hartglass, and it's time for It's All About Food. It's September 4th. It's a Tuesday in this year of 2012, and we've moved. And it was easy. No sweat or anything. We just changed days. So instead of Wednesdays from 3 to 4, we are now every Tuesday from 4 to 5. And I am really honored to be in this part of the schedule following Dr. Helen Caldicott. She is really an amazing individual, and it's really quite an honor to follow her today. I'm going to be looking forward to listening to her show just before I start mine. Okay, so I'm Karen Hartglass, and I have a nonprofit called Responsible Eating and Living, which you can find at responsibleeatingandliving.com. I know it's a mouthful, but it's a delicious one, believe me. Just go there and visit. There's lots of wonderful videos and recipes, and you can find the archives to this show. Lots of information there. And if you want to send me a message, comments, questions, my email is, are you ready? info@realmeals.org, info@realmeals.org. And if for some reason you're inspired during this hour and you absolutely have to ask us something right away, you can call at 1-888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Very good. And before I bring on my first guest, I wanted to talk about one of last week's guests, which was Zell Allen, and she was talking about her cookbook, Vegan for the Holidays. And it's a little early to be talking about Christmas and Kwanzaa and Hanukkah, but it got me thinking about Hanukkah in particular, because one of the things that drives me crazy, I love holidays and I love traditional foods, but one of the traditional foods for Hanukkah is the potato pancake, the potato latke. And the holiday is all about celebrating this mist, this magical oil that was used in a lamp and it lasted for 8 days instead of one day. And as a result, the tradition is we celebrate the oil by eating lots of it, and especially potatoes fried in lots of it. And it's really rough eating all of these oil-laden potatoes. And yet I like to keep the tradition going, and so years ago, I came up with a potato pancake recipe that was vegan. It had no eggs in it, but it did use a lot of oil. It's been driving me nutty, and I finally came up with a wonderful recipe. It's potato pancakes, taste great. You can make it with next to no oil or no oil at all, still delicious. So visit responsibleeatingandliving.com and click on the recipes over on the left-hand column, just real recipes or sides. You'll find it. It's great. And I have included lots of variations where you can add kasha to it, buckwheat, spinach, carrot, onions. I'm so excited about this recipe, but I'll be telling you more about that. I'll remind you about it when the holidays come around. It's also a great party food. Okay. I'm excited about food. Can you tell that? Because it's all about food. And there's lots of fun things to talk about when we talk about food. And we're going to jump right in and talk about healthy, delicious food, my favorite subject, with Chef Del Sroof. He has worked for 6 years as chef and co-owner of Wellness Forum Foods, a plant-based meal delivery and catering service that emphasizes healthy, minimally processed foods, produces a line of in-the-bag mixes, and offers cooking classes to the public. He has worked in vegan and vegetarian kitchens for 22 years, including spending time as a vegan personal chef. He lives, works, and cooks in Columbus, Ohio. Welcome to It's All About Food, Chef Del.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Yeah, well, you know, you're all a part of the Forks Over Knives brand, which is a very exciting thing in the vegan world.
Sure.
So I talked about the video when it came out, and I had Dr. T. Colin Campbell and Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn on, as well as your producer, Brian Wendell.
Brian Wendell, sure.
Yeah. And then we had Gene Stone on the show. He lives in Manhattan here, so it was easy for him to come into the studio. And we talked about the book, Forks Over Knives. And now the natural progression is to have the cookbook. And I want to tell you, I've been carrying around today, and it's heavy.
There's a lot of recipes in there.
This is one heavy book, over 300 recipes. You could just get a workout, and workouts are important. So it's a good book to carry around.
Right,
and,
right.
And
there
build,
you go.
Build bones. I'm always
a new use if you don't like to cook.
Right. Okay. So before we dive into all the wonderful recipes in this book, you have a story, and I want you to share it with the listeners because people love to hear individual stories. They resonate mostly with them rather than all of the facts and numbers and reasons to eat a certain way. People like to hear individual stories, and you have a good one.
Sure. Well, and I won't go back. Well, I'm going to go back to when I was 8 years old, but I'll skip ahead some, so bear with me. But when I was 8 years old, I was put on my first diet, and it was an 800-calorie restricted diet. It wasn't plant-based or anything like that, but it's significant because of the restricted calories, it set off what I call a career of yo-yo dieting, one where I would gain weight and lose weight, and all using this restricted calorie method, assuming that it was the way to do it. In 1997, I opened a vegan bakery, became vegan, and spent the next 4 years not only trying to grow my business, but gaining over 200 pounds myself on a vegan diet.
Can we just stop there for a minute? Why did
sure.
you why did you become vegan?
I had worked the 8 years prior to that. All of my cooking experience has been in vegetarian and vegan kitchens. The 8.5 years prior to that, I worked for a vegetarian restaurant, and it sort of happened naturally. Mm-hmm. I was meeting a lot of people who were vegetarian and vegan, and working with people who were vegan, and they had very convincing arguments for why vegan was a smart way to go. One, you know, of course, there are the natural reasons that we talk about. For some, it was spirituality. For some, it's the environment, health, and then the health of the animals as well. And some of those resonated for me. And it seemed like the smart thing to do. And it just, and again, I was cooking this way even before I was eating this way. So eventually the cooking won out and there I was. So anyway, over the course of the first 2 or 3 years of owning my own bakery, I gained 200 pounds, and I did it eating not only a vegan diet, but a vegan diet that was full of processed foods. So as I heard you mention earlier, lots of oil, white flour, processed sugars, and the like. And it was very easy, and it had happened really without my paying much attention to it.
Enjoying every bite, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, I'm a good baker. I hate to say it, but a good baker. So I spent the next 4 or 5 years, close to 500 pounds.
Whoa.
And it wasn't until I fell one day and twisted an ankle and tore a tendon in my foot that I had a wake-up call. And in 2005, I actually came to the Wellness Forum as a client because nothing I was doing was working. I wasn't exercising because my foot hurt. I was working all the time. I was still eating. I closed the bakery actually by this time and opened a meal delivery service, but it was still a lot of oil and a lot more of the processed foods. And I went to the Wellness Forum and said, I need some help. And I became a client, became a member, and adopted a low-fat, plant-based diet and spent the next several years regaining my health, which I am still doing. Oh. I've lost over 200 pounds.
Good for you.
And I am a much better, much happier, much healthier person today than I was 6 years ago. So I'm very happy.
Well, I think we're all on a path when it comes to vegan and vegetarian diets. Actually, I think all of our culture is on a path where we're learning about health and nutrition. We didn't know much about health and nutrition with regard to food over 100 years ago, and it's just all starting to come out where we're discovering what the nutrients are in food and what they can do for us. So it's all new. Some people kind of romanticize and fantasize about going back to the way things were, and I don't know that that's entirely ideal because we really didn't know what the right foods were to eat back then.
And actually, I won't disagree with you. I agree in a lot of ways. I think that we have a fantasy of what the way things were.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a reality that's out there, too, and we see that in populations who still eat the way that our ancestors really ate. In other words, if you go back 200 years or 300 years in civilizations around the world, you'll see plenty of populations who do not have processed foods in their diet. They don't have oils, and they don't have sugar and white flour, and they don't have potato chips, and they don't have those kinds of foods. Not only that, they don't have a lot of meat in their diet because they can't afford it. It's expensive.
Right.
So they eat a low-fat, whole foods plant-based diet that's based on, primarily on starches like potatoes and beans and grains and vegetables. And then the rest of it comes just sort of as condiments. They eat meat when they can afford it, but you don't see 32-ounce steaks on a plate. You know, so that's the way that we really ate, and there's a lot of science that shows that, and the China study shows it, and we can look at populations around the world that don't have our health conditions that show it as well. So it's this fantasy versus the reality of the way that our lives used to be that we want. You know, but even my grandparents ate less processed foods than I did.
Oh, sure. It all started really big time about 50, well, right after World War II is when mm-hmm. we really had the chemical explosion with pesticides and herbicides, and then the manufacturing, the industrialization, the food system totally changed.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, right. So we're getting back to where we belong, and fortunately, more and more people are getting on this path, and we have the whole forks over knives package,
mm-hmm.
and now we have 300 recipes to try. let's jump into the cookbook. You've got everything in here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the goal is that you can start with breakfast and go through dinner and even have an occasional dessert as a treat.
I talk a lot about not using oil and salt. When we cook at home, we rarely use oil. I will admit, occasionally I do use oil in food, but it's really a rare event, and
mm-hmm.
And I rarely use salt as well. And you've probably seen this, but people's reaction to that, what? No oil? What? No salt? They just don't know and can't imagine. And yet, I mean, for example, you talk about a lot of things in here. I'm looking, for example, at the nitta kibbeh recipe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to saute onions and caramelize them and have them be loaded with flavor without oil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I spent, when I came to the Wellness Forum, my co-partner, my business partner said to me, get rid of the oil from your foods. And I spent 2 or 3 weeks in my own kitchen going, how the heck does that happen? But once I figured it out and developed the technique for doing it, it's the easiest thing you've ever seen, whether it's sautéing and caramelizing onions or whether it's I'm doing a stir fry. You know, we think of stir fries as definitely needing oil because every time we go to a Chinese restaurant, it's loaded with oil. But you can do stir fries, and there are several recipes in the book that show you oil-free stir fries that are full of flavor.
That's right. Now, the other thing people are confused about is when you talk about not eating oil, they equate that to fat.
Right.
And we need fat.
Right. We need some fat. We don't need a lot. And I know that the USDA recommendations are higher than you'll hear us talk about, and especially the experts talk about forks over knives. But there's a difference between getting your fat from oil and getting it from a whole food. And the biggest difference is we've removed the fiber, and we've removed most of the nutrients from our fat, so that when we buy oils, we're buying oils that have had the nutrients added back in. And let me tell you that the humans are never as good at putting nutrients into food as nature is.
No, we're not, so, because we don't know what all of those nutrients are.
We barely begin to identify the micronutrients in our food. But, you know, nature has done a really good job of it, and we need to let nature run its course with our food and get back to eating that way. So there are plenty of ways to get fat, the little fat that you need from flaxseed is one of the ways that I get mine, a few nuts and seeds, and I talk about this all the time when I teach my cooking classes. There's a difference between garnishing a dish with a couple of tablespoons full of cashews and then eating a jar of cashews.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Americans tend to do is we, and I've been that person, we tend to go all out with our consumption. So it's okay to have nuts and seeds because they're healthy nuts and seeds. Well, they're healthy in the right quantities.
Well, what's great about them when you garnish a meal or a dish with it is that it brings out all the flavor. And so you get these lovely taste sensations, these tickles of wonderful flavors, and the
right.
nuts and seeds will do that.
Oh, yeah.
They can perk up a salad or Any kind of dish. It doesn't take much. Doesn't take much, yeah.
Yeah. If you find yourself eating a whole jar of cashews, then you really got to look at why it is you're doing that and start to ask that kind of a question. If you can eat just that garnish on a salad or something, you're eating more in balance. And anything else, there's a question that you've got to be asking yourself about why you're doing that.
So the other thing is a lot of creamy sauces are used in restaurants or in French food, and I'm looking right across the page from the Nitter Kibbeh. I mean, I haven't even barely gotten into the book here yet, but I'm stuck on one page. The cauliflower bechamel, I think it's really an important concept because it gives you the look, the feel, almost a mouth feel of a really creamy sauce. It has a lot of flavor. And when you blend things up together, you don't know what's in them. You just
have
flavor.
Right. You can fool the mouth, if you will, in a lot of different ways. And I tell you, the idea for that cauliflower bechamel came from a soup that I used to make, which is a roasted cauliflower bisque. And it had the original recipe had oil in it. But even taking the oil out of that, when I would make that soup and puree it, I was like, oh, my gosh, this is so – and everyone loves that soup. But it took on the flavor, as do a lot of foods. It took on the flavor of whatever I did with it. So I used that sauce in a curried pasta sauce. You can use it in a traditional bechamel sauce as a topping for lasagna and a white sauce. There are so many, anywhere that you can use a traditional bechamel, you can use this sauce, and that's what makes it exciting. But the cool part is if you, especially if you're doing what I call health by deception at home, is you're putting another serving of vegetables into the mouths of those that you feed, and they don't have to know it.
Right, especially children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they, well, children and probably my father, when he sees something like a speck of green or something, he'll usually say, "What's that?" And it's just so much easier to blend it all up and make it taste good. It's white sauce. Yeah.
I highly suggest it with family members who are a little bit hesitant to change the way that they think about food is be deceptive about it. You're doing it in a loving and caring way, and that's okay.
That's right. Okay, one of my favorite ingredients, you've got a bunch of recipes for fava beans, and I never see them in anything.
Well, we tend to, and Americans, you know, we eat an average of 6 to 10 different food items a day. We're not very good about variety in our foods. And so one of the goals with this cookbook was to make sure that there were a lot of different kinds of foods in there for people to sort of try and to expand their horizons with. And I love fava beans, and I've had a Middle Eastern restaurant. I have two of them near my house. So Columbus is a great city for Middle Eastern food, and one of them has an amazing fava bean dip, which is pretty similar to hummus. Now, it has a lot of oil in it, but the oil isn't what gives it the flavor. Mm-hmm. The fava beans themselves are delicious.
Fava beans, garlic, lemon, period.
Ah, yeah,
so good.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
It's delicious. So I had to include some recipes in there because it's one of my favorite beans.
They're not that easy to find, but if you look, they're there.
And I think if you really want to be a food explorer, if you live in a small town where you're not going to find fava beans, I think that there are great places online to order food now. We've changed the way that we can buy our food, and there are some good options out there. So don't let that stop you from. And I have to say, because I mean I hear this criticism a little bit from time to time, is that fava beans are definitely one kind of bean that you'll find in the book, but there are plenty of beans that you'll find in your regular grocery store too. And that's important. So most of the food in this book, you can make it by shopping at traditional grocery stores.
The other thing I like is I started my vegetarian path a long time ago, and I used to enjoy going to Indian food restaurants a lot because there were a lot of options, lots of flavor. And I've been going to Indian restaurants less and less because it's oil and salt.
Yeah.
But you've got some great recipes in here that are the traditional dishes that have all the right seasonings and vegetables without the oil and salt.
Without that oil. And I've been eating Indian food. My first vegetarian experience from one of my closest friends, I've known her for 30-some years, and she lived in India for several years, and she cooks a delicious Indian meal. Now, she even, at this point in time, does not use oil in her food. Mm. But I learned the flavorings a lot from her, as well as my own love of Indian food. And again, Columbus is Indian food's another thing that you can find in abundance here.
What's the climate like in Columbus, Ohio, in terms of health?
Well, Columbus is kind of the test market for the country for a lot of things. So fast food is abundant here, and there's plenty of fast food options, and there's plenty of unhealthy foods here. But it's changing as it is everywhere. The Wellness Forum has been here for 15 years. We have several hundred members of our program have gone through our program here. Several thousand have gone through our program even locally. So there's awareness of health, but, it's like it is a lot of places. There's still some reticence to change our ways and to see new ways of thinking. So we've had, and I've worked at, again, some of the vegetarian and vegan restaurants in town. There are still vegetarian and vegan options, and most restaurants now offer vegan options. So you can go in, and even if it's not on the menu, talk to a chef or talk to a waiter and say, what can you do for me? And when you say vegan, people know what it means.
Yeah, isn't
now,
that nice?
Yeah. Yeah, that's not always been the case. The harder part is the oil-free thinking. And it's getting better, but you still have to say, no oil. And I hate to say it, but again, it's that health by deception. It's sometimes saying, look, I have a cardiovascular condition. I'm really trying to be careful with my heart here. So if you can just steam my vegetables. And I always tell people the thing to do is to call ahead. Call a restaurant and say, I'm coming in, here's how I eat, what can you fix for me? And a lot of chefs love to do something special for things like that. So the climate's changing, as it is everywhere, but, we're a big, there's a lot of health industry here. Cardinal Health and Ohio Health and all of those are all here. So when you go to health fairs, you still get some of the traditional screenings and people telling you that eat heart-healthy oils, and it drives you crazy, but,
yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah. You just keep on keeping on.
Yeah, keep on.
Okay, so the Wellness Forum, the website is wellnessforum.com.
Right.
And what is it?
Well, the Wellness Forum has been helping people to improve, in other words, to achieve optimal health, to reverse degenerative diseases for 15 years. The program is based, and the diet that we teach is very, very much like you'll see in the China study and programs like Dr. John McDougall's, Dr. Cole Wilson. So it's a low-fat, whole foods, plant-based diet, but we teach people through a 10-hour course how to eat, how the importance of exercise and proper hydration, of stress reduction. And we offer, I think what makes our program different from a lot of programs that you'll find like ours is that you become a member for a year. And over the course of that year, we offer ongoing support. So we have a monthly call that you can do with both Dr. Popper, the founder, and myself. And her call is going to be on a different health topic. And then it goes to a Q&A format. And mine's the same way with cooking. So we spend 10 minutes talking about fall fruits and vegetables and the rest of the hour answering your general questions on cooking. We have cooking classes once a month. We bring in guest speakers. We have an annual conference. All with the goal in mind. And then we have a members-only portion of our website where you can find a lot of archived information. So all with the goal of being able to say, you can do this course and go off on your own and do it really well. But for a lot of people, it's nice to get that ongoing support that helps you to stay in tune and stay on track.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a friend that's just trying again to go vegan, and he called me to let me know what he ate last night at a Mexican restaurant. He was at a party, and he had the power. He foregoed the cheese and the sour cream. But just for somebody to say, good for you, you're on the right track.
Right.
People really need that support.
Well, and you have to remember that a lot of people go home to what I call sort of a hostile environment where nobody else wants to eat that way.
Yeah.
So that's hard to deal with every day and every night to know that you're the only one that thinks the way that you do. So having a place that you can go to, and we have people that come to we have a monthly dinner that people come to, the different events and the calls and things like that, and being able to talk with like-minded people really, really helps people a lot.
Let's get back to what we were talking about in the beginning, which was your story. And my partner, he had a similar path when he was young. He was always overweight, and his mom was putting him on all kinds of crazy diets, the egg and grapefruit diet and all kinds of stuff. Oh, you know that one?
not the egg and grapefruit. I went on the grapefruit diet.
It wasn't until he came to this vegan lifestyle that he finally made peace with his food, which is what he talks about. He even did a this was before he went vegan, but he did this 7th month performance piece called Eating Disorder, Eating Dad Order, when he talked about all these different diets that he had been on. But how do you feel now with what you're eating in terms of, how do you feel about your food?
Well, and I tell you what, part of making changes to eating a different way is dealing with some of the reasons why we eat. So, in other words, we can teach you how to eat and what to eat, but that doesn't necessarily, and I've been dealing with this in the past couple of years, and I'm having some great success with that, is dealing with some of the triggers for why I eat bad foods. And now, for me, bad foods have changed. Bad food used to be meat and cheese and blah, 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 and now bad food might be potato chips and some of those processed foods. So I don't fight myself with food the way that I used to. Like, I really sort of look forward to eating, and I cook really good food, so I'm a really lucky person.
Right.
You know.
Well, that could be lucky, and that could also go against you. When you can't cook, you can make anything you want, and then you're in danger.
Right. Right. But again, in having those conversations about choosing a healthier path, I have to look beyond an individual meal to the goals that I'm trying to achieve. So I still have, you know, 20, 25, 30, 30 pounds to lose, or whatever that is, and I still have the rest of my life to live, which means I don't want cardiovascular disease. Mm-hmm. I don't want diabetes or any of those other degenerative diseases. I don't want medication to be my course of life and living my life in doctor's offices. So I have to make choices that help me to achieve that goal. Okay? And so that's part of what drives my eating decisions every day. Now, one of the things that I do is I sanitize my house. So you won't go into my house and find potato chips and oil and sugar and white flour and any of those things that would tempt me. And someone being a baker, the flour especially is an easy one. I can have pancakes in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't find those things that tempt me. I have to leave the house to go get them if I want them. And that allows me time to have that conversation with myself.
Right.
You know, if I'm going to get into a car at 10 o'clock at night and go get even vegan ice cream, there's plenty of time to talk myself out of it and have a conversation about what it is I'm actually doing here.
Yeah, it's really important to buy only the healthy food in your house. And that can be a challenge when you're living with other people who aren't in line with what you're doing.
Yeah, I don't know that I could do this if I had to live in a house where there were cookies and potato chips and that kind of food. It'd be really hard for me.
But I make some pancakes that are healthy. My pancakes are just like a bowl of oatmeal all whored up and cooked.
Well, I think what you have to do is distinguish. I'm not saying that I would never, ever eat pancakes. I'm saying that to have them available all the time is not a smart thing for me.
Yeah.
So when I choose to have them, that's one thing.
Right.
If I have company coming over and we're going to have Sunday brunch, then I might have pancakes or I might have a scone. But I don't make that something that's available for me every day.
Yeah, well, that's the thing that we've kind of fallen out of, and making special food, food that's a treat, food that's a luxury.
We want the treat all the time.
Yeah.
That's where we've gotten to, and I think that's what we have to get away from.
So do you have a comfort food that you like to go to that's within the regimen?
I do. I love pasta. Mm-hmm. And I make a pasta stir fry that's very healthy. But you know, when you're trying to lose weight, pasta can be a healthy food, but it's a very concentrated calorie. So the difference between a cup of grain, like a whole grain, like a wheat berry, is some less than 100 calories, or around 100 calories, where a cup of flour has 400 calories. So it's that caloric density that I sort of balance out in my life. But every now and then, you know, a nice stir fry pasta dish makes me very, very happy.
Okay, well, let's just underline in these last few minutes the importance of what we've been talking about. We're talking about food that's delicious, food that's good for you. But the thing is, most Americans today, over 600,000 a year die from cardiovascular disease. It's reversible.
Mm-hmm.
It's preventable. A lot of great work by Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn shows that in his book, Prevent Heart Disease.
Mm-hmm.
We know this now. And we need to be doing more about it. And so this is definitely a good step in the right direction.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'd like to see some scared straight programs where we show people what they go through when they have cardiovascular disease and having your chest ripped open to have a stent put in there, what that's like. I mean, I have a friend that just had a heart replacement done, and he says the pain was the most unbearable thing you can ever imagine for months.
Well, it's just interesting what people think of as extreme. People
mm-hmm.
will say eating plants is extreme, but cracking your sternum open is normal.
Yeah, that's a normal thing. Yeah, that amazes me, that conversation all the time. You'd rather spend your life navigating doctor's office visits, navigating the nine medications that you're on, each one a response to the side effects of another, and feeling like crap all the time.
Yeah.
I have energy that I've not had most of my life.
That's amazing,
and
isn't it?
I look forward to that every day.
Yeah. Well, Del, thank you so much for joining me on It's All About Food. Thanks for creating this very heavy book. I look forward to carrying it around the rest of the day.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. And wellnessforum.com, that's where we find you and all that you do.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Thanks
thank you so much. I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. We're going to take a very quick break. In the meanwhile, you can go to responsibleeatingandliving.com. That's where I live. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about sustainable biodynamic farming with Sebastiano Cosia Castiglioni. We'll be right back.